From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Now, tonight's program on parallel universes will be rescheduled as we devote the entire program to that devastating tsunami that struck Asian coasts, killing at least 24,000 people. That death toll number is expected to go way, way up. First, some other important stories of the day. I have always believed that Flight 93, that ill-fated plane that crashed into the rural fields of Pennsylvania on 9/11, that something very strange occurred with that flight indeed, because the wreckage was tossed all over the place, not in just one specific area where you would expect a plane crash. And that's my take on it, and of course it does not take away anything from the heroic efforts of those people aboard that hijacked plane at the time. But something very strange has happened, a story that's going all over the internet right now, and this from the World Net Daily, a very prestigious news organization. It says ever since 9/11/2001, there have been some questions about Flight 93, the ill-fated plane that crashed into the rural fields of Pennsylvania. The official story has been that passengers on the United Airlines flight rushed the hijackers in an effort to prevent them from crashing the plane into a strategic target, possibly the U.S. Capitol. And I believe, indeed, that's what they tried to do. However, during his surprise Christmas Eve trip to Iraq, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld referred to the flight being shot down long a suspicion because of the danger that the flight posed to Washington landmarks and population centers. Was it a slip of the tongue? Was it an error? Or was it the truth, finally being dropped on the public more than 3 years after the tragedy of the terrorist attacks that killed nearly 3,000 people? I will not dwell on this story in its entirety tonight. However, I do want to read you a few paragraphs. Here apparently is what Rumsfeld said on Friday. I think all of us have a sense, if we imagine the kind of world we would face if the people who bombed the mess hall in Mosul, or the people who did the bombing in Spain, or the people who attacked the United States in New York, shot down the plane over Pennsylvania and attacked the Pentagon. The people who cut off people's heads on television to intimidate, to frighten. Indeed, the word terrorized is just that. Its purpose is to terrorize, to alter behavior, to make people be something other than that which they want to be. Now, several eyewitnesses to the crash claimed that they saw a military-type plane flying around United Airlines Flight 93 when the hijacked passenger jet crashed, prompting the once unthinkable question of whether the U.S. military shot down the plane. Even if the U.S. military shot down the plane, the tragedy was that it was probably very necessary to do that indeed. However, this is a story that will not go away based on what Rumsfeld said or did not say, and we'll follow that story. The Arabic television satellite network channel Al Jazeera says it has received a new audio tape in which Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden appears to have called on Iraqis to boycott the upcoming elections. Reuters reported that bin Laden declared any Iraqis who vote in the January 30th elections will be regarded as infidels. Some talk about an asteroid that is coming very close to the planet in 2021. Initially, they said that it would be a 1 in 300 chance of hitting the planet. That was then dropped down to 1 in 37. Now they're saying that they have revised all their calculations, that it will not hit the planet at all. And they feel that they can say that with some conviction. Now the big story, of course. Rescuers scoured the sea for missing tourists and fishermen in Asia. Fears of disease grew as emergency services struggled with rotting bodies from a devastating tsunami that killed more than 24,000 people, with a number that is expected to go much higher. The disaster spared no one. Western tourists were killed sunbathing on beaches, poor villagers drowned in homes by the sea, and fishermen died in small boats. The 21-year-old grandson of the Thai king was killed on a ski jet. We have a long way to go in collecting bodies, said Thai's prime minister, who expected that the death toll in his country to go much higher. Sri Lanka was hardest hit by the tsunami, a wall of water triggered by the world's biggest earthquake in 40 years, with a magnitude of 9.0 that erupted off the northern Indonesian coast. And, of course, the International Red Cross has reported with these 24,000 deaths, expressing grave concern about the waterborne diseases like malaria and cholera. A UN emergency relief coordinator said millions of people will be affected, lost homes, polluted drinking water, destroyed sanitation. The cost of the damage would probably be many billions of dollars. In Washington, the Secretary of State, Colin Powell, said at least 8 Americans had been killed. Asian officials conceded that they failed to issue broad public warnings immediately after a massive undersea earthquake in Indonesia, which they say could have saved countless lives from the subsequent giant waves that smashed into 9 countries as far away as Africa. India said it would consider establishing a warning system, and Australia and Japan said they would help build it. One Australian official said it would take at least a year to set one up. A basic regional monitoring system could cost tens of millions of dollars. On the coasttocoastam.com website, you might want to look at the really astounding video and slideshows. An amateur videographer was able to capture the huge wave hitting the beach in Thailand. In the video, the big wave is seen quickly approaching the beach, seemingly out of nowhere. People can be heard gasping, screaming as the tidal wave moves quickly over the beachhead by buildings and into the town. The tidal waves triggered again by the world's biggest earthquake in 40 years. The video, the slides up on the coasttocoastam.com website. And also Mount St. Helens, it's an alert level 2, the second in a 3-level system, as the growth of the new lava dome inside the crater continues to grow. Also, those people who have been wondering about Arthur C. Clarke, he lives in Sri Lanka. Apparently, he is okay. He posted a message on his website calling the tsunami disaster of unprecedented magnitude. In a moment, our guest will be Dr. R.B. Trumbly this hour. We'll open up phone calls at each half hour for you tonight, because I'm sure you're very, very interested in this situation, because not only has it occurred in Asia, could it happen along the eastern coast of the United States? In a moment, Dr. R.B. Trumbly. Now, before I introduce Dr. R.B. Trumbly, you might remember that last week on the program, I was talking about feeling some very strange earth vibrations. As a matter of fact, Matt Drudge on his website, thedrudgereport.com, drudgereport.com, yesterday, said that the entire planet is vibrating. I felt it. A lot of you felt it. You emailed me. You fast-blasted me. You even called the program. I want to play an excerpt of what I said last week. You know how some of you have been hearing this very low rumbling hum sound? We've talked about it before on Coast to Coast. You've emailed me, fast blasted me. Well, I'll tell you what, I am not hearing a hum sound, but since I've been in St. Louis, what I have been picking up, ground vibrations. I kid you not. You know, you might be standing at a mall store, or you could very well, maybe it's because there's so many people in there. I don't know, but even outside, I'm beginning to feel ground vibrations. Now, you know, we are very close to the New Madrid Fault, which is a pretty significant earthquake fault. Most of it goes down through Memphis. But in this particular case, I'm feeling a lot of strange ground vibrations. So if anybody in the Midwest is feeling this too, fast blast me. I'm very curious to see what's going on. And that was last week. And then I started getting emails from people all around the country. Dr. Robert R.B. Trumbly, Ph.D., is the founder, director, principal researcher of the Southwest Volcano Research Center. He is an award-winning scientist, has traveled all over the world working on volcanoes. This May, Dr. Trumbly was selected as one of the 10 internationally recognized content experts for the Inter-Island Distant Learning Exchange Project, and he's the principal designer of the very highly successful software program Eruption Pro 10.5, which provides long-range forecasts of volcanic eruptions all over the world. He's written a number of books. We'll tell you about his website in a moment, but he is our guest this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Doctor, seems like every time we bring you back, something catastrophic has occurred, and here we go again.
Yeah. Yes, Every time I'm on the program, it sounds like something's happened. But it's nice to be back with you, George. Thank you for having me tonight.
My pleasure. Now, was there any way of predicting this earthquake at all?
No. Earthquakes are basically non-predictable. They happen, I'll say, randomly. I mean, we know they're going to happen. We know basically where they're going to happen in a general sense. But, you know, as to timing and so forth, it's impossible.
Now, you just heard that clip of me a week ago talking about these strange vibrations that I was feeling here in St. Louis. And Matt Drudge on his website has been reporting that the entire planet seems to be vibrating. I'll talk to you about that in a second. Is there any tie-in between what I was feeling and what so many other people were feeling last week and with what happened this weekend?
Well, I suppose I can, the answer is it's possible, but I haven't felt any vibrations and myself, and I have no colleagues of mine that have had any such phenomena happen to them that I know of. Of course, I've been out of town for the last week, too. I just got back in today from Detroit, so...
All right, well, I'm telling you, we felt strange things last week, and then to have this occur, it's peculiar indeed. Tell us a little bit now, because of this tsunami. Now, this is what was what, a 30 to 40-foot tsunami? It was at the... It was at the
feet, I think, was the measured or estimated wave height for this one, yes.
Explain the process of a tsunami for us, Doctor. How did this happen?
Well, in this particular case, this particular tsunami was caused when a 1,000 kilometer, which is approximately 620-mile section along the boundary of a tectonic plate, shifted. That's what caused it. So it was a shift in the tectonic plate, in the Euro-Asian plate, that caused this particular tsunami, which registered 9.0 on the Richter scale. Now, one thing that people should understand is on that we hear about the Richter scale, but I'm not sure that a lot of people really understand what that means.
Well, that's true.
It is a what we call in mathematics a logarithmic scale. By that I mean a magnitude 9 is 10 times more powerful than the 8, 100 times more powerful than a 7, 1,000 times more powerful than a 6, 10,000 times more powerful than a 5, and so on. So, as you go up each notch on the Richter scale, each notch represents 10 times worse or greater magnitude or energy, however you want to measure, from the previous notch.
Doctor, how long did it take from the tsunami's epicenter, where the earthquake occurred, where it began, how long did it take before it hit those Asian coasts?
Not too long at all. I just have been gathering data since I got back this afternoon. I was in Michigan for the holiday, and I just got back, and the producer called me. So I've been putting all this stuff together, so I haven't had too much time to get that kind of data. But it couldn't have been too long, you know, within an hour or two anyway.
Is there any tremendous roaring sound that is tied to this that gives anybody some kind of warning, maybe by at least 20 minutes, that something strange is happening here?
I have heard that people have heard these earthquakes occurring before. Certainly animals have been able to do that. Not in this particular case. I have not heard of any reports, but in California quakes I've heard many animals give pre-warning, if I may call it, or precursors, as we call it in the business. But in this case, yes, but anyway, I have not heard any animals or anything do it, but it is possible that persons can hear earthquakes as well.
They are saying now that they may try to, at least around some of these Asian coasts, install warning systems that would try to give people some leeway that something's going on. If they had this hour head start, Of these 24,000 who tragically died, and I'm sure this figure is going to go much higher, but of these people who died, would a great percentage of them, Doctor, had been saved had they had some kind of warning system in place?
Yes, if you did have a warning system in place, such as the Hawaiian warning system and also the West Coast/Alaska tsunami warning system, which is established after the 9.2 earthquake in Alaska in 1967, I believe it was. That one caused 132 deaths, 122 of which were caused by a tsunami or a tidal wave. And so I would say yes, that is at least a good portion of them may have been saved, yes.
You and I have been talking about the possibility of tsunamis for several months now, and I'm not sure a lot of the mainstream media took notice to the possibilities. I think they are now. These are real occurrences. They're tragic. They come quickly. And again, I think it's time for us, Doctor, to talk about La Palma in the Canary Islands, because that could be, even though you don't believe anything could happen right now, that could be a very serious problem if anything ever erupted.
Yes, so La Palma is it's a volcano in the Canary Islands off the west coast of Africa, and the volcano erupting itself is not the problem. The problem is the type of land that surrounds the volcano. It's literally on a landslide fault, so to speak, and if that entire landmass lets go, it would cause a tsunami that could be up to 600 feet tall, whereas the major tsunamis, even this 9.0 earthquake tsunami, registered around 30 feet. I think 33 feet was this particular one for the 9.0 Great Sumatra quake, as they're calling it now. At any rate, so in other words, the general tsunami is around 30 feet, usually a little bit less than that, but as an average. But if the La Palma landslide occurs, then that could cause up to a 600-foot a tidal wave or tsunami, and that could devastate the entire east coast of the United States, depending on its direction and so forth.
600-foot tsunami as opposed to a 33, and we just saw then the widespread damage and deaths with a 33-foot. And you know, and I'm not trying to scare people by any means, but I do think it's important for people to realize that these are real earth problems. Now, I had also heard, Doctor, that this thing hit with such force, and I don't know how true this is, but I saw this on some accounts, that the earth's rotation might have been affected. Is that true?
Probably not. I would very seriously doubt that. No, it's not. I mean, it's a large earthquake. It's very devastating, as you pointed out. But to do earth rotation modification is, I would find that extremely difficult to believe.
Once again, if the tsunami occurred by the Canary Islands, how long would that take? That 600-foot one, how long would that take to get to the eastern coast of the United States?
About 6 hours, something like that.
6 hours. So people would at least have some kind of warning to hightail it out of there, even though traffic would be just a mess. Now, when we talk about the eastern coast of the United States, are we talking from, you know, from up there in tip of Maine all the way down to Florida? Where are we talking about here?
The answer is yes. It could affect, depending on the direction and magnitude, it could affect us from as high as Maine and down to the Florida tip, or anything in between, of course. I would surmise that the majority of damage and the hit would be in the Florida, Carolinas, and that kind of region, as opposed to, it would be lesser up in the Maine area, I would think.
Is there anything happening to the planet right now which is causing this that we need to be concerned about, or is this just a horrible natural tragedy?
It's a regular or horrible natural disaster, right? The Earth is a living, dynamic planet. It's constantly in motion. Not very much, you know, the tectonic plates move. I think the one up by India is the fastest moving. It's a little over almost 3 to 4 centimeters a year, I believe. But most tectonic plates will move, you know, a centimeter or two a year on the average. So it's the planet is constantly in motion. It's a living planet, if I may use the term.
All right. Stay with us, Doctor. Most of you have not had an opportunity to talk with an expert about this, so we'll open up the phone lines for you for the remaining portion of this hour that we have Dr. Tremblay. Next hour, Stephen Quayle joins us with his discussion on this tsunami. He had an opportunity to talk with Stan Dale. Stan is under the weather tonight. Stephen will be with us next hour. But your phone calls, welcome. Just a moment.
The official website of Coast to Coast AM is www.coasttocoastam.com. Log on now. Is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
We're going to take your phone calls for the rest of this hour with Dr. R.B. Tremblay. Next hour, Stephen Quayle joins us. Stuart Wild joins us in the third hour on the program. And trying to get a hold of Jim Berkland, a geologist, to talk about earthquakes as well. Jim is still unavailable. We may get him. If not, I'll just do some general earthquake open lines with you, and we'll talk about the tsunami in the last hour of the program. Those of you interested in the After Dark CD, well, there's plenty available for you, and it is timeless. You get 2.5 hours, 2 CDs, bumper music, Great calls to the show, classic ghost stories. You can order it online by going to AfterDarkCD.com, AfterDarkCD.com, or call this toll-free number, 1-800-598-2331. That's 1-800-598-2331. And those of you who are still interested in the free CD, Art Bell's classic interview on Mel's Hole, you get that when you order or renew your After Dark subscription. And this is a separate phone number, 1-888-727-5505, or go online at coasttocoastam.com. You know, Doctor, so much going on, I didn't even have an opportunity to ask all our listeners and even you know, yourself if you had a delightful holiday and Christmas. I hope everything went well.
Yeah, I was up in Michigan for the last week, George. It was about a foot of snow, cold. I was really glad to get back here in Arizona.
Absolutely. Before we go to calls, we talked last week about Mount St. Helens. Mm-hmm. The dome was starting to grow. I'm told now it is from a level 1 to now a level 2,
right,
with a level 3 being high. What's happening there?
About the same, George. It's still kind of huffing and puffing, so to speak. The dome is still growing. Mount St. Helens is occasionally having what we call phreatic or steam eruptions with a little ash output from time to time. So it's basically doing the same as it has been since the 1st of October. Off and on, little minor puffs of ash and steam and whatnot.
All right, based on what's happening now, what does your Eruption Pro 10.5 say about the probability factor here of Mount St. Helens?
For 2005?
Yes, sir.
It was at 34, a little over 34% last time I looked.
Okay, so that hasn't changed yet?
No.
Okay.
No, it hasn't. By the way, I wanted to make a minor correction. I said that the 9.2 earthquake in Alaska occurred in 1967. It's actually 1964.
64.
Right. It was 1967 that the second of two tsunami warning centers, it's called the West Coast / Alaska Tsunami Warning Center, that was established in 1967. But the actual earthquake that caused that center to be developed occurred in 1964.
Okay, very good. Let's go to the calls now. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi.
Hi. I was wondering, with the plate tectonics, it's like a push and pull system, and it seems like this 9.0 earthquake would be a shove instead of a push. Couldn't that cause the volcanoes to erupt over there in the Canary Islands and let that piece of rock fall into the ocean?
No, it's a it's a complete. First of all, the Canary Islands are on the plate itself; it's not on a boundary. But yeah, you're somewhat correct in your analogy of a push and shove on the plate. But the Sumatra-type quake is nowhere near the Canary Islands, for starters.
Did this earthquake, Doctor, have any effect on the ice shelf down there in Antarctica at all?
Probably not, no. But let me finish answering the other part of the gentleman's question. Do earthquakes affect volcanic eruptions? Ostensibly, the answer is no. There has been a lot of research done in that particular area, particularly in the Cascade mountain range, where we have a whole line of volcanoes, if you will, from California and Washington and Oregon and so forth. But there has been a few instances where we've had an earthquake and then a volcanic eruption occurs relatively shortly afterwards, but there's not enough correlation to be able to definitively say, yes, if you have this kind of earthquake or this series of earthquakes, that an eruption will occur. There's just not enough evidence to support that. And also, all the other Cascade volcanoes, for example, at the moment are at normal background seismicity and so forth, had nothing to do with Mount St. Helens per se.
How unusual was this tsunami that occurred over the weekend, Sunday?
Well, it's very unusual. It's not unheard of, but it is unusual, A, due to its large magnitude, and B, secondly, to the amount of damage and deaths and so forth that occur. But it's basically a quote-unquote routine-type earthquake that occurs occasionally in the Earth system, if I may call it that.
I have not heard anything about our Navy base at Diego Garcia, which is in the Indian Ocean. They've got about 2,000 U.S. troops there, and they are at sea level. Is it that in the path of that tsunami?
I'm not familiar with that particular naval base, but so I don't know, George. I just simply don't know.
Okay, because we haven't heard much about that. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, where are you calling from?
Oh, I'm sorry, Sacramento.
Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to know, is the plate that moved over there related to Japan in any way? Because whenever Japan has an earthquake, it seems that California has a little one a couple days later, and I was wondering if we're going to get anything here.
Well, if related in the fact that they're all tectonic plates, yes. But fact that the great earthquake that we just had the other day does not necessarily mean that we're going to have a bunch of earthquakes in Japan or even in the west coast of the United States or anything like that, no.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. I have a guest that I just made reference to, Dr. Jim Berkland, whose theory on earthquakes centers around tidal forces and the full moon. In December 26 was a full moon.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very timely for that to occur. Have you looked at that at all, that kind of a theory?
I have not personally looked at it myself, but I was originally trained as an astronomer, so I'm familiar with what he's talking about. And the fact of the matter is, one of the topics that I was going to do when I did my doctoral thesis was to relate phenomena like that, but somebody had already done that, so could... But yes, I am familiar with what he's talking about, and I think that's very plausible that lunar gravitational forces can affect by that. When I say affect, I mean, what is the question that I always had a long time ago, and even to this day a little bit, even though I don't think about it as much, is what exactly is it that causes that trigger to actually cause that event to happen, what throws it over the edge, so to speak. And I'm not throwing out the theory that it's because of the lunar forces,
but possible.
Yes. Oh yes.
Let's go to our first time caller line. You're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, sir.
Yes, my name is Ronald, first time caller. I am let's see.
That's our truck driver. That's how we verify that they're truck drivers, RB. Okay, go ahead, Ronald.
Yes, I got a question for the doctor. If that tsunami from the Canary Islands comes up towards the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
how big do you expect it to be once it hits like the Gulf of Mexico?
You mean as far as the magnitude?
Right.
Well, it's not an earthquake. It would be a landslide that would cause a mega tsunami.
Right.
So it's not registered on the Richter scale and like we have earthquakes.
Right.
It just causes a tsunami, which can actually be caused by a lot of different things. Earthquakes is certainly one of the ways that tsunamis are formed, but it also can be formed from landslides. It can be caused from volcanic eruptions. And they could even be caused by meteor impacts.
Right. Okay, if it's supposed to, you know, like, be 600 feet, or that snow is supposed to be 600 feet tall when it hits the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
Would, like, Florida deflect or take most of the brunt? That way it'd be smaller?
Ostensibly, yes. It depends on the direction that the wave comes.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Ron. Appreciate it, because it could come at an angle, right?
Oh, sure.
What would be God forbid it occurs, but what would be the best case scenario for us? That it come at a slight angle and maybe, you know, miss most of the country and just maybe keep heading kind of northwest, but at a higher level. What would be our most opportune possibilities?
I really can't answer that. I'd have to sit down and plot it all out and so forth and look at a map and plot it. But my gut feeling is that there is no safe angle. You're going to get it one way or the other.
Okay. Wildcard line, your turn. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Oh, hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. That's okay.
I wanted to ask the doctor, he said earlier that that nothing could have predicted this earthquake. And I've been feeling the earth vibrate and rumble now since June 6th. And what I didn't realize is actually it adds up to 666, June 6, 2004.
Well, that's biblical.
Yeah, I know, but I did say something to my mom. I actually didn't want her to go to work that day. I just felt it. I felt the earth moving back and forth. And haven't they said something about the magnetic poles shifted? I mean, not scientists have said that, right?
They are slowly shifting. You're absolutely right there.
Oh, exactly. So if you drop like a magnetic ball onto like a metal surface, it would kind of like wobble back and forth like that until it would snap into place, right?
I'm not sure.
Yes, I know what you're talking about, but the magnetic reversals are due to the fact that we have a liquid core.
Exactly.
And
so we're sliding around it, right?
Sorry?
Again, we're sliding around the core.
Well,
like you said, the Earth's always moving, and it's like skin moving over like a metal ball. Wouldn't it that be the equivalent?
To a certain extent, yeah, I guess you could say that, yes, but not in the manner that you mean.
Okay, well then how would the magnetic pole shift affect the Earth?
The magnetic pole shifts are predominantly caused by anomalies and in the magnetic fields, and they continue to grow and grow and grow, and then finally gets to the point where it reverses itself.
Well, so would the Earth kind of vibrate like that until it would snap the other way?
No, it doesn't vibrate due to magnetic reversals. No.
Okay, thanks for your call. What could happen though with a total polar shift?
Well. Well, all the compasses would point the other way, for starters.
Well, that doesn't hurt us.
No.
The birds would get screwed up, right?
Yes, probably. Yeah, there's a lot of animals that actually migrate because they have bits of what's called magnetite in them. And, for example, the lobsters in California and birds and butterflies and stuff like that, they've actually found that they have a bit of what's called magnetite in them, and they are literally like flying magnets, or compasses perhaps would be the better analogy, and that's how they're able to go on exactly the same or nearly the same routes every year after year after year.
Well, next up, the clock is ticking here. We'll go to our first time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Randy from Detroit.
Hi, Randy, go ahead.
Okay, I heard last night in Hilly Rose that the island of Sri Lanka actually moved 150 miles south.
No, not 150 miles. No. I think it was 100 feet.
100 feet?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I must have misunderstood.
Yeah,
you.
Boy, if it moved 150 miles, it would be one heck of a tsunami.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that is the sixth largest island, but how could it actually move?
Well, it's part of the plate, and the plate moves.
Right. Does it ever shift back, Arby?
I suppose that's possible for that to happen, but it's not like it's a spring, you know. It may in some other earthquake move back, if you will, but it doesn't move forward and then back again as a general rule.
You know, if you believe in Atlantis, it's possible that island was sunk because of a huge tsunami as well.
Yes, I've heard that theory as well.
Yeah. Next up, Wildcard Line, you're up. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello.
Is it me?
Yes.
Oh, hi. I'm Annie. I'm from Oceanside.
Hi,
and I just wanted to say I hope you had a great Christmas. And, George, you took my question. I was going to ask about that full moon because I was reading that it was like the farthest away full moon of the year that we've had. So that was my question, if the moon and the tides had anything to do with that earthquake. But I thought I'd hang on and say Merry Christmas to all and hope you have a great new year.
All right. Well, Merry Christmas to you indeed, too. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Greetings. James from Lincoln, Nebraska. I had a question about that meteor shower that happened over Jakarta a week before that made loud exploding noises. I don't know if that would have been the cause of an earthquake and tsunami exactly almost 1 week later.
No.
But are they related to those, they heard explosions over Jakarta. Is there something that could be a different kind of, it just seems like that would be a way to trigger something if you had a meteor. I know it would take that long, but could that have set it off?
First of all, the meteor shower that you're talking about, yes, I understand. The noise that you hear or was heard and so forth are basically parts of the meteor that are coming in. They're large enough to come into the atmosphere. They're normally called bolides and so forth, and they can make noise and so forth. But as far as causing tsunamis and earthquakes, absolutely not. Have nothing to do with it whatsoever.
Doctor, a lot of people still asking about the possibility of La Palma and the Canary Islands. I do remember you telling me that if it did hit, it would go in about 50 miles inland at the biggest, right?
At least, yes.
Okay, very good. Doctor, your website, swvrc.org, and as you all well know, we tap into Dr. Tremblay whenever we have some earthquake questions.
By the way, on our website, too, George, alert all your readers, on the there's one of the sections is called Today's Updates.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into that section and scroll down near the bottom, there's a link that we've always had on there to the latest tsunami warning centers, so they can kind of keep abreast of the great Sumatra tsunami disaster here by just going to our website and clicking down on that particular portion of the website.
One very quick question. Now that we had a 9 out there, could they be hit with another big one, or do you think that's it?
They may have some smaller ones, 7s and maybe even an 8, but that doesn't repeat itself.
All right, very good. Thank you, Doctor. Appreciate you being on the program. Our special coverage of the tsunami continues next hour in a moment. Stephen Quayle, our guest. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Sign up for StreamLink at www.coasttocoastam.com. And you can hear tonight's show over and over and over.